Hello and welcome to Ruby Rider's Pegging Paradise podcast number 75 on January 24th, 2014. So hello everybody, and let me really quickly tell you that we haven't had any donations for since the last podcast that I did. I'm still at $685 out of the $1,000 I am hoping to raise to get myself to DC. The conference is a mere I believe 7 weeks away. It's the 24th now, and the conference is on the 14th of March. So anybody out there with some extra money in their wallet, haha, I know there's some of you out there who really appreciate what I am trying to do is spread the word about pegging, to spread the real word about it as opposed to all the misconceptions and myths. If you could dig deep and send a little bit in, I would be really, really appreciative to make sure that I can cover all my expenses in getting there. Someday, Ruby is going to be my day job, and I'm going to be a very, very happy Ruby when that happens. But as yet, that's not the case. So I would love anything you can throw my way. It doesn't make any difference how much it is. So moving on from there, as far as the conference, I think I mentioned last time that Charlie Glickman is not going to be able to do the panel in DC. I did see Charlie this week, and I'll talk about that in a little bit, but instead we have Lucas Brooks, and I think that that's going to really add some fun to the panel. Lucas Brooks has a blog called Top to Bottom, and you know, if you go and check out that blog, you can tell he's a fun guy. So I'm really looking forward to that. And then, I told you I was going to tell you I saw Charlie Glickman. I saw a bunch of people because I was fortunate enough to be able to attend XBiz, and that was held down in LA, and that is the first time I'd ever been to that conference, and I'm kind of new at going to conferences. Really, the only ones I've ever been to are CatalystCon West, and now in March I'm going to go to CatalystCon East. This was a really nice collection of sessions and things, and one of the things that I really got out of going on Wednesday, and it was just the first day of that conference, was that there's this real united intention behind all of these people who work in the field of sexuality, no matter what where they work, you know, in the whole field, whether it's their bloggers or their journalists or their retailers or their manufacturers or their educators. All of these people seem to have one thing in common, and that's that we would really love to see, and we are very hopeful that soon we will see much more sex positivity and much more ease in basically talking about sex. I did get to attend the keynote speaker, the opening keynote speaker, who is the CEO of Lelo, Miroslav Slavic. And he had a PowerPoint presentation, and he said a lot of amazing things. But one of the things that just tickled me was he had a slide that showed little stick figures of people, and it was representative of these little stick people having a conversation over their backyard fence and hedges. And you could see the little word bubbles on their above their heads. And they were talking about how their vibrators were great things, you know, because there was a little shape that was obviously one of the sex toys that Lelo sells. And he prefers the words pleasure objects, which I love. And he has such a forward-thinking and progressive vision about talking about sexuality, which is surprising because he told his history, and he actually came from a telecom history, and he's only been with Lelo about 4 years. But excellent speech, and I really, really enjoyed attending the conference for that day. And that was thanks to Tiffany Yelverton of EnticeMe.com, the sex toy party business that I am now a part of. Tiffany belongs to XBiz, and she was the one that gave me the registration code to get in and attend that. So Charlie was there. Charlie Glickman was on a panel about health, sexuality, and pleasure products. That was close to the title of it. And there were a lot of other people there. I finally got to come up and shake hands with Carol Queen. Carol Queen is a renowned sex educator, and she is one of my heroes because she did the Bend Over Boyfriend films with her husband. So I got to come up and shake her hand, and she said, yeah, the kids nowadays, the kids are calling it pegging, because that word wasn't around when she and her husband put those films out, but it was really nice to meet her. Who else was there? Oh, well, I got to see C.T. Schenck. He was on the panel about health and sexuality, and he is the CEO of Aneros, and he will be on the panel in D.C. in March. So we got to say hello, talk about the panel a little bit. And it felt kind of cool because I have been in this world long enough, in this sort of community of people, to where now I'm starting to see people over and over again, and I know them. It's so now I want to be, you know, I want to go to every conference there is just so I can keep up with everything and see the people and take part in that community as much as I can and really work towards this common goal of sex positivity. It was a great conference. I'm sure the rest of it was lovely too, but that one day was really cool. It was held at the W Hotel in Hollywood, which is directly across the street from the Pantages. And I was reminded that at the Pantages, the Book of Mormon is showing, and I really need to get to that. Oh, the tickets are expensive, but I cannot miss that. That's what all my friends tell me, so I'm going to have to. That was a good reminder. I had actually thought the show would close, but it hasn't yet, so I'm going to go see that. Okay, enough of a diversion here. So I'm actually going to talk a little bit about the intersection of pegging and chastity play, just for a little bit, because I had a couple of questions that brought that up again in some of my email, and I thought I'd go back to a comment that a reader left from the last podcast that I mentioned about this. Somebody had asked about chastity a long time ago in one of the podcasts, and I didn't really know much about it, and this man wrote in, and this is what he wrote in the comment section for the posting on my blog of that podcast. And FYI, that podcast is number 5, so whoa, that was a long time ago. But I've become really interested in this recently because of a couple of questions I was asked. So let me read you what he wrote first. I'd love to throw in my 2 cents about combining chastity play with pegging. It's one of those amazing combinations like peanut butter and chocolate. Let me just enumerate some of the finer points. Pegging feels so much better when a guy has a full prostate. Abstaining from ejaculation for a week or so beforehand makes everything down there hypersensitive in the best possible way, so that even the slightest contact leaves a trace of warm, glowy pleasure. There are erotic pressure points on the body that when compressed... There are erotic pressure points on the body that, when compressed, generate a feeling of pleasure. These include the wrists, ankles, elbows, knees, and, you guessed it, around the base of the penis behind the balls. Many folks who enjoy bondage do so for the physical sensation of having these points stimulated. This may also be linked to a feeling of submission, but in many people it's just about physical pleasure. Among couples who practice non-BDSM pegging, you'll often see the man wearing a strap or band around the base of his penis. That band provides a sensation of tightness, security, or of being held that feels amazing when combined with pegging. The sensation is heightened every time the man's body rocks with a thrust from his pegger. A chastity cage can provide this sensation. 3. Bondage helps people let go. Many people, especially those in high-stakes jobs or positions of power, have trouble just letting go and letting things happen. They feel the need to always be in control, always worry about what's going on and if it's right or optimal. Bondage can be incredibly liberating for those people. When tied to the bed, you don't have to worry about things like, am I doing this right? Or, does my partner like me or my lovemaking? Or, is there something else more important I need to attend to? When you're tied up, the answer to all these questions is there's nothing you can do about it, so you might as well relax and enjoy this. In fact, some people find it so beneficial that they don't even need sex when tied up. They find that being tied up and left there for a few hours works wonders on their mood and stress levels. Chastity play can offer this benefit and can even extend it over the course of days or weeks. For those compulsive masturbators among us, being locked up is very freeing. Instead of spending a lot of emotional energy trying to resist wanking for the 10th time in a day, we are free to go about our business knowing wanking is impossible with the cage on. For those who feel rejected and alone because they aren't getting sex, a cage helps them feel like sex isn't even an option, even if they were to get an offer, therefore there is nothing to be ashamed of. Number 4. Some people just enjoy submitting to someone else or being forced to submit to someone else. For those folks, it is fundamentally erotic to have someone else in control of them in a sexual way. This may have roots in courtly love, or it may just be a carryover from the intense feelings of infatuation felt during adolescence. When you feel like your world turns upside down every time that cute girl walks in the room and you realize she has some sort of sexual power over you and you like it. Folks in this category feel the most pleasure when someone compels them to do things by some sort of mental, emotional, or even physical way that overrides everything else. Just saying things like, "She made me," or "I had no choice," or "She wouldn't let me out of chastity unless I," are a turn-on for these people. People who don't have this turn-on can find this difficult to understand, but that's just how subs are wired. Number 5. For some, it's all about the romance. The device serves as an hourly reminder that your heart and body belong to your true love. Every jiggle caused by walking, not to mention the actual erections, reminds the man of who holds the key and his heart. The chastity cage and chastity key worn on the necklace of the key holder are analogous to promise rings or charms. Number 6. Desire is pleasure. For some, the feeling of wanting, of hoping, of lusting is pleasure. It's the thrill of the chase. You often hear that the journey is better than the destination. This is the principle behind the age-old striptease then that many women use so well to hype guys up to these incredible sexual highs. As soon as orgasm arrives, the fun is over. The longer you can prolong the pre-orgasm glow, the more pleasure you experience. This aspect of chastity play is often called tease and denial. Edging is also related, where you bring the man to the brink of orgasm over and over without letting him come. Number 7. For some, chastity is purely practical. It may be used to curb a masturbation habit or to help a cheating husband redirect his unruly passions. Some use it as a motivator to lose weight, do better in sports, study for exams, or strive for a promotion at work. For some, it may be a gateway to help a partner open up to other activities like pegging. Number 8. For just about everyone I have spoken with, chastity play involves some combination of these things. In fact, it is often a very dynamic feedback loop as these different aspects of chastity flash in and out of the minds of the players. So there you have a quick rundown of some of the motivations and benefits of chastity play. Now, I know I have read this a long time ago on podcast number 5, but I thought some of my current listeners who maybe haven't gone back all the way back to number 1 and listened to every one of them would appreciate that. And the reason it came to mind, like I said, is because I did get a couple of questions about it, but I've also been a little bit fascinated because I've been doing a little bit of chastity play without the cage with a guy, and I'm fascinated by some of the things he tells me. Like that when I tell him no, he can't have an orgasm. Now, this is strictly on a basis of voluntary compliance. He told me a number of things. He told me that in the beginning when he asked me to do this with him, that he thought, well, this is just sort of a fun thing and I'll play along with it. But if she tells me to do something I don't want to, or if she doesn't allow me to do something I really want to, then I'm going to do it anyway. But as it began and as it continued, he found himself more and more really wanting to do exactly as I said. He has used the words that it feels freeing to him that I take care of that part of his life. And he's also said that he feels very, very cared about and that I would take the time to do this for him. And sometimes he says that when I tell him no, he gets the warm and fuzzies. That even though if he really would like to have an orgasm and I tell him he can't have one, that he hates that part of it, for some reason he feels all warm and fuzzy inside. So this denial thing, this orgasm denial, the whole chastity play, whether it's with a cage or not, really kind of fascinates me. It's a very interesting dynamic in the whole subject of sexuality and sexual interplay between couples. I'm very interested in other people's experience with this. I do recall a previous listener writing in and saying that he had abstained for, I think it was 3 days, and then gave us a lovely description of a hands-free orgasm. And so this is something that we know is that that makes it more likely, like this man mentioned, that you will have more sensation there because your prostate is full and it's more sensitive. So if you abstain for a while, that helps the goal of having the hands-free orgasm, but it just increases the pleasure period. And I find that as well. There's really quite a heightened response when the man has abstained for a while. In fact, the man who I am in control of his orgasms at the current time, he experienced his first multiple orgasm when he had abstained for, I think it was 3 days. And we have a lot of fun with that. I tell him what he can do and what he can't do with all the various parts of his body. So he had a butt plug in with a vibe on it. And he had this big orgasm, but it was intense, but it didn't really feel like it was quite finished. And so he reached down and continued playing and jerked himself off. And just a little while later, he had another, even more intense one that practically brought him to his knees. Well, he wasn't standing, so he's already laying down. So perhaps that phrase isn't accurate, but you get my meaning. It was very, very intense. So sometimes exploring the tease and denial and exploring abstinence for a little bit and then trying different things can lead to very interesting things. I'm quite interested in the power aspect of it too, because I am who I am. So just the fact of me saying no and then him telling me, I get the warm fuzzies when you tell me that. Yeah, it's a turn on for me, absolutely. Okay, well, I just wanted to talk about that. And I welcome any of my listeners, readers who want to write in and tell me their experience with those sorts of subjects all around that. I'd love to hear from you. Okay. So I got another letter from the man who wrote in before asking about harness information for his girlfriend, who is a non-op transgender woman. So I love how he describes his evolution of pegging in this letter. It's really cute. Okay, here we go. Thank you for doing your podcast. I've been a pegging recipient for quite some time myself. Way back in the early 80s, my then-girlfriend and I spent a day at a hotel having sex, and I had rigged up a harness for her to use her vibrator to peg me. As you would expect, it didn't really work well for her or me, and I didn't pursue it further. As a bisexual guy, I found the real thing to be more enjoyable, actually. Fast forward, I married an adventuresome woman, or so I thought. When Vixen Creations introduced the Nexus, I bought one, and when I gave it to my wife, I was very surprised to hear the, "What are you, gay?" accusation. Again, fast forward. My current partner is a wonderful male-to-female, non-operative transgender woman. We use the spare parts deuce harness with several different dildos, up to the Tantus General. By the way, I did take your advice and left a message with Liberator to consider the Valkyrie men's harness in purple rather than just black. My girlfriend does prefer the more feminine colors. It's really nice to hear from you again, sir, and I see that you and your girlfriend are having a lovely time with the spare parts deuce harness, which is awesome. The Tantus General is not for the faint-hearted, by the way. That is a pretty damn big one. And I'm glad you contacted Liberator and asked them about the Valkyrie men's harness. I talked to them as well. They do cut those in big numbers. In other words, they have cutting machines, and so they cut them out in big, huge stacks. So to do them one at a time and to do them special would not leave them probably enough profit margin, but he did really appreciate the input as far as that there is a market out there for colored, at least purple, maybe not all flowery and everything, but colored men's harnesses. So who knows? Maybe they'll do that again someday. Thanks for writing back in and giving us a little bit more of your history, sir. Okay, here's a short one. Great podcast. It's going to take me a while to get through the backlog of episodes, but I'm looking forward to it a lot. My wife has pegged me a few times at my request, but she really isn't into it. Hoping I can find a way to help her enjoy it. Maybe one of your podcast episodes will provide the answer. Thanks for all your work. I always feel so much for you guys that write in and tell me that the pegging subject has been broached, not just even the subject, but it's actually been done. And it didn't go as smoothly as you had hoped in terms of her being into it. And again, I always wish for the magic wand, but let me just give you a little bit of information, because you didn't really give me a lot of information in terms of what the exact situation is, but there's a number of different possible things. So I'm going to send you an email back and tell you that I read this on the air. So here's the possibilities that I think of that perhaps you can consider and see which one seems to ring true the most. But one of the first ones might be that sometimes women feel that their femininity is compromised by putting on a harness with a cock on it. They don't feel beautiful, and they feel like it simply compromises their femininity. This could be something that she is concerned about because, you know, if she hasn't vocalized what she doesn't like about it, then you're kind of left in the dark trying to figure it out. You can certainly try and talk with her directly, but think about some of these possibilities and see if any of them are automatically, you know, because you know her so well. So that is one of them. Now, obviously, the solution to that is that there's some very, very feminine harnesses out there. Spare Parts probably has the best ones that I have seen. They have one called the Sasha, and there's another brand new one that it has garter belt little straps on it. So go to the Spare Parts website, take a look at those if that is the situation, and maybe even show her. Now, along those lines as well, you got to think about what the toy is that you're using. If she does feel this way and you have this totally realistic, veined, flesh-colored cock, this may not be the best toy for her to have. Maybe that's what's freaking her out, because any of these are possibilities. And if she's disturbed by the possible detracting of her femininity of strapping on a cock, the more it looks like a cock, the more she's going to feel that way. So there are many, many dildos out there that are non-realistic looking. I would look at Vixen's Creations and Tantus for those possibilities. They have a lot of them. So choose your size and things if that's the case, if you need to replace it. And let's see. What I probably should have started with, so I'm going to backtrack right into it, is when you have a situation where you have an unenthusiastic partner, one of the things you do need to check in with yourself about is whether or not you are providing them with a stellar sexual experience. In other words, are you rocking her world when it's time for you to give to her? Because the more that you rock her world in bed, and the more that you are a helpful, loving partner outside of bed that volunteers to help, that takes care of things without being asked, you know, your basic helpful partner, the more that those two things happen, if it is a case of she feels like, okay, this is a lot of work and I'm not really getting what I want, even if she hasn't said, I'm not getting what I want, it's up to you to really do a good job of trying to figure that out and give her exactly what she wants and rock her world. Because the more you do that, the more she will feel at the end of that, oh my God, that was so incredible. Honey, what do you want? Because I will so give it to you. That's kind of the point that you want to get to. And it's not a guarantee, but it certainly, certainly helps. Another possibility that you might want to consider is it's possible that your wife is like, I don't know, I guess I would say the majority of women, because I think it's pretty common for women to have submissive fantasies, or at least fantasies where the man is dominant and takes advantage of them. So this could be the case. So if it is the case, consider this. You could have her lay on the bed with the harness and the dildo on. You could blindfold her. You could tie her to the bed, and you could ride her. Now, That may not be your perfect way that you would like to be pegged. You may want to lay back and have her take you and basically run the fuck, but at least it's an option. And another thing around that is just to basically try and have a serious talk with her outside of the bedroom. You don't want to do it in bed before or after sex. You want to do it outside of the bedroom and explain to her very seriously and kindly that this is a real need and desire that you have. And if there is some way that you can figure for the two of you to do this more often, you would be happier. Okay, and I'm kind of all over the map here in terms of not explaining these things in an orderly manner, but let us also talk about her pleasure. I don't know what kind of equipment that you have, but there are a whole host of ways that you can possibly figure out for her to have pleasure as well while she is pegging you. Now, that's not going to happen in the beginning so much, because in the beginning there's a steep learning curve and it takes a fair amount of practice to become like second nature for you to feel like you're comfortable doing it when you're a woman, because we haven't had cocks our whole lives. But if there is also the prospect of pleasure, and there's different things that vibrate and different things that stimulate parts of your lady parts, then that makes it more enjoyable. That could be something that could entice her to try it again. You might have to invest in some toys. The double-ended dildo I recommend the most is the Tango, Happy Valley Silicone Tango. And it has a wonderful clitoral vibe. The bullet vibe that it comes with should be replaced with a Wii vibe. Interestingly enough, same name. The bullet vibe is called the Tango. So, okay, this is easy to remember, guys. Get the Tango with the Tango, right? Now, that bullet vibe has like 8 different speeds, and it is really kind of deep and rumbly to a certain extent. And I believe it's placed really, really well. So I would recommend that if she's into clitoral stimulation as well as G-spot stimulation. But you can also try the Wii vibe. I think they're on number 4 by now, and it's shaped differently. That's a brand new one. I haven't tried that out. But the Wii Vibe 3 is the one that has a remote, and that's basically the U-shaped toy. And it goes inside the woman, and one end of it will be on the G-spot, and one end of it will be on her clitoris. And that can be worn, actually, while she has a pegging equipment on. It could even be worn while she is wearing a flare-based dildo with a harness. So lots of options there, but investigate some of the recommendations I've made here, as well as the ones on previous podcasts in terms of equipment and her orgasm, and have some fun with it. I mean, if part of what's happening is that you're sort of trying to see what gets her off, she might be more into it. Those are my basic suggestions. You might learn other things that I forgot to mention here tonight by listening to my other podcasts, but those are the ones that come to mind first. I wish you the best, and please let us know how it goes. Okay, one last thing that I remembered. I paused the recording and realized it could be just because the learning curve is steep. So it's a little overwhelming for her to try and figure it all out, because it can be difficult. I mean, okay, let me do the little speech here. Pegging takes a lot more than any women realize until they try and do it themselves. Fucking someone is what I mean. Fucking someone takes a lot. It takes strength, stamina, balance, and grace, and multitasking. So all of these things are quite a bit in the beginning. Learning curve is steep. Like I said, if that is what's happening with her, then it's important that you allow her to have positions to where you are doing all the work. And the two positions I recommend the most are cowboy, like I mentioned, where she's laying down and you're riding her. And if she doesn't have the submissive desires, then you can just ride her and she can watch you. In fact, it's really cool if she can watch you, because then she can see how intense your orgasm is. And the other option is what I call the chairman. You are sitting on a sturdy, armless chair. I'm sorry. She is sitting on a sturdy, armless chair, and you are sitting in her lap on the dildo, facing her with your arms on the back of the chair. and riding her. So those are two to try, because those are the two that require the least skill. Some people have said that the spoon position requires the least skill, with her being the big spoon, but I would have to disagree. I think that takes a lot of core strength and a lot of muscles, and it's really easy to get tired very quickly. So I'm not going to agree with that one, but that's another possibility, is that the learning curve is just a little bit too high. So experiment, think about all those, talk with her, and get back to us and let us know how it goes. Okay. Let me see here. Here's another letter. Hi, Ruby. I have a question about pegging and what you think my chances are of getting pegged by my girlfriend. I've never been pegged before, but I knew from when I started performing prostate massages and watching pegging videos online that I wanted to try it. I've been engaging in prostate massages and watching pegging videos for around 3 years now. I've been with my current partner for almost 2 years. After following some advice online, unfortunately, before I found peggingparadise.com, I decided to pluck up the courage to tell my girlfriend that I enjoy prostate massages. This took a few days, though, as I was very nervous. She could see something was bothering me and decided to ask what it was. I came out with it all hesitantly, and she could see I was embarrassed by it. I asked her if she thought I was gay, and she said no. She actually seemed to get annoyed because I was so embarrassed about it all. She said to me that just because you like it up the ass doesn't mean you're gay. She also went on to say she knows that a man's G-spot is located up there and has a friend that fingers her partner. She suggested that she give me some private time to perform these massages. Obviously, I was disappointed by this, as I was hoping she would want to get involved, though I guess the embarrassment I was expressing may have led to her giving me this option. After fearing that she would leave me, I thought to myself that I had come this far, so I haven't got anything to lose, so I asked her if she would get involved. I was worried about her reaction, and I could see she was a bit uncomfortable about the whole thing, but to my surprise, she agreed. She asked me more about it all, as she explained she had never done anything like this before, so I explained how I go about doing it, and even though I was still embarrassed about the whole thing, I went on to tell her as much as I could. She got some latex gloves and lubed up one night and performed a prostate massage on me. She could see I enjoyed it a lot by me shaking in ecstasy, and then I made passionate love to her. It didn't take her long to orgasm, and she clearly enjoyed the lovemaking, which has never been so passionate. But before she performed the prostate massage on me, she asked to see the porn I watched whilst I performed the massage. She knew I had watched porn whilst doing it, and understandably, I was very worried by this, as the videos I watch are pegging videos. I hesitated, but reluctantly agreed after she practically begged to see it. I had two videos on my laptop. The first one she watched was quite a slow and intimate video of a woman pegging a guy. She later admitted she much preferred this one. The second one, however, was quite a rough one and involved rimming, which she explained she is very much against, although I have no interest in this. The only reason I watch that sort of video, and any sort of video, is just for the intimacy between the woman pegging the man and hitting his prostate. The humiliation, rimming, roughness, and dressing up does not interest me one bit, which I have told her. She said as she watched the first video that she would be willing to do this to me, though this was before she performed the prostate massage on me and she hasn't mentioned it since, though I haven't brought it up either. Though she has mentioned me using vibrators whilst we have sex, and she's also agreed to me using a prostate massager, which I have, while we make love. We love each other dearly and plan to get married soon, but I was wondering if it's just her love for me, which is why she is satisfying my needs, and maybe she secretly hates it. Though she did seem to get into it whilst performing the prostate massage. So I guess I have two questions for you. One, is my girlfriend just doing all this for my sake and not really enjoying it, despite telling me countless times she's not bothered by it? Two, do you think there's any chance she'll peg me in the future? She did say she would do it for me, but as I said, she hasn't brought it up since, but neither have I. If you think there's a chance, what do you suggest is the best way from here to go about the subject? I apologize for the lengthy message, but just wanted to be as clear about everything as possible. Would appreciate any advice you can give me about this issue. Hopefully I'll hear back from you soon. Thank you for the time you've taken to read this. That was very clear and concise, and I do appreciate all the information. Reading it, I have to say, it's just a little frustrating, only because there are so many stories I hear where the man is not getting anywhere near the positive responses that you have gotten, and you, sir, are still there doubting her word. And I mean, you said it yourself. Despite telling me countless times she's not bothered by it. Okay. So, admittedly, not bothered by it is a ways from totally getting into it. But you have to start somewhere. And in the beginning, how is she going to know if she likes it unless she tries it? So that's the first thing I would say. Now, from the giving point of view, from the woman's point of view, there's a lot to learn. I've already talked in the last letter about how there's a steep learning curve learning how to fuck somebody, but there's also a fair amount of learning to be done about the prostate, where it is, how to stimulate it, what you like, you know, how fast, how hard, how deep, what it feels like in her fingers. I think it's totally awesome that she put the gloves on, she did the prostate massage, and that you two had amazing lovemaking. I think, sir, if you were able to take a deep breath and you recognize this yourself, that the first time you talked about it with her, you were very hesitant and very embarrassed. And quite frankly, what my suspicion is that she was put off much more by that than anything that you were recommending or asking for, excuse me. So like Dan Savage says, don't approach it like you have leukemia. This is just something that you love. It was a part of your body that you really enjoy having stimulated, and there doesn't need to be any embarrassment about it, especially because she really seems to be a game partner, as in good giving and game, the GGG, right? Seems like she's really down for trying the new things. So I would say take a deep breath, try and let go of any of that embarrassment that you have, and just start talking with her about it. Tell her that you're really excited, that she's down for exploring this with you. Do not try and second guess yourself. I would suggest that the two of you get online and start doing some research about it and learn together about pegging and learn about the best ways for new people to do it together. Because what it sounds like is that the only education that she's had about it so far is you verbally telling her about the prostate massage and then her watching those two videos. And you were right to not want her to show that other video, because I don't know if this is true or not, but it seems to me like men have the ability to be able to look at a video and just focus in on the things that turn them on and not really take in notice, much notice, or it doesn't have an effect their porn experience when there's things happening that they don't get off on. But you are right, and I have mentioned that before on my blog, that one of the ways to try and talk to your partner about it and convince her to try it is not to show her that kind of pegging video. So I'm glad she did get the opportunity to see the other one, which was a more sensual example. I do think that when you approached her about the prostate massage and explained that you like it, it's perfectly reasonable for her to assume that what you were asking for was private time to do it, because you really didn't mention her getting involved, and it's possible that she didn't think you wanted that or she couldn't picture it. So a little bit more clear communication would be awesome between you guys, and you telling her how much it turns you on the thought of actually being pegged, and that you would like to go forward with that, and you would like it to be something you two do together. Research it together. Research the equipment. Let her pick out something she loves that is really pretty, if that gets her off. Let her pick out the dildo that appeals the most to her. Different things like that. And get her excited about it. And you know what? Approach it as if you are excited. Because I know underneath all of the worry and the concern and the embarrassment, you are so fucking excited you could hardly keep it in your pants, right? So tell her that. Tell her the thought of you. Tell her this. The thought of you wearing a strap-on and fucking me gets me so hot I can hardly fucking stand it. And I could just come thinking about it practically. You know, let her see some of that passion and that excitement. It could be one of those things where both of you are into it and she's actually been thinking about it, but you're both a little bit too shy to go, Okay, so like we talked about this before and we watched the video, so can we like fucking do this now? Take a deep breath, go for it, and let us know how it goes. And to answer that question really, really directly, which is, do you think there's any chance she'll peg me in the future? I would bet a lot of money that she would. Yes. I really, really, really would. New sexual territory is sometimes a little intimidating, but she has given you every freaking sign that she's willing to try this. Just get excited. Have some fun. Go for it. Okay, the next letter. I found two messages from this man. One, it's in a forum board that I have that has a group that's specifically for non-BDSM pegging. And so he joined and he posted a topic. And on the topic, all it said was this: she thinks it demasculinizes me. And then he wrote, that about sums it up. How do I get her to stop thinking this way? I feel so connected during, and now she hates it. And then he actually wrote me a private message as well, and it said this, which gives us a little more information to work with here. I have a question. My wife and I have been together for 10 years now. 4 years ago, we moved from one state to another. Now that we are here and have some good privacy, I wanted to bring back some pegging. Well, 2 days of talk about it with excuses of why not. Then last night, she tells me, I see you as a man, and when I'm doing that, I feel like I'm demasculinizing you. Now our pegging sessions went degradation or femdom. They were sensual and sexual. Is there any way to fix this? Or is that sometimes you just gotta deal with what she wants? Okay, let's take this apart a little bit here. You say that you wanted to bring it back. So I do understand from the bringing it back that this is something you've done before. It sounds, my best guess is that you haven't done it a lot, and probably because of the lack of privacy, maybe because of children, who knows, and it was something that perhaps just got put on the back shelf and forgotten about in the busyness of life and things, and you have been thinking about it this whole time, so now you want to bring it back into the relationship. When she says that it demasculinizes you, that is an interesting comment. It's absolutely the viewpoint of some women. Normally, they feel this way because when a man does get penetrated, it puts him in a very vulnerable state. Vulnerability is very often confused with weakness, and weakness is an unacceptable trait for some women to see in men. And societally, it's the one thing that men are never, ever supposed to show is weakness. They're never supposed to be weak. Weakness is very, very different from vulnerability. But it's quite possible that when she has pegged you in the past and seen you in that vulnerable state, she was really unprepared for it. And so she saw it as weakness. Some women can't get past that, so they don't want to do pegging because they're very, very influenced by the strict gender roles that are in place by society. And when you start flipping it a little bit, they just can't hang. She could be one of those women. But then, much to my surprise, you go on to say that now she, it sounds like what's happening is she is into a bit of degradation or femdom. Well, if I understand this right, then what that could mean is that in reaction to you seeing you being vulnerable when you have been pegged in the past, somewhere in there, she found her dominant side, and she found that she really likes to do the dominant thing and really likes to do the degradation. I'm assuming she didn't come to you and ask you if you wanted to do this because you've quite clearly expressed that this is not your favorite way to peg in this short letter that you sent me. At the same time, it does appear that if this is what's going on, that is something that she enjoys. So your last question about, is there any way to fix it? Or is it just that sometimes you have to deal with what she wants? Well, I mean, the obvious thing is to talk with her about it. And you do mention that you have done a fair amount of talking, but I think you need to sit down and get really, really specific and ask her about what it is that she enjoys about it. and tell her what it is about it that you enjoy. Because if she gets the message really clearly that you love the connection, that you love the closeness and the sensuality and the intimacy between you, and that is one of the bigger reasons why you love it so much, and how now, if she's doing degradation and domination, that you're not really feeling the same way about it, perhaps you two can work it out. It's possible that she loves doing that and she gets off on it. So then you could maybe come to a compromise where sometimes you do it sensual and sexual and intimate and slow and kind, and other times she gets to have her way and you still get pegged, but you kind of have to put up with how she wants it. That's a potential compromise where at least you're still getting pegged the way you like some of the time. And it's possible that she's just not really understanding what you want as well. Maybe she thinks that that's part and parcel of the whole thing, that that's what always comes with it. If she's done any looking around on her own and looked at pegging videos, this is quite a possibility, because finding pegging videos, that's pretty much all you see. So maybe she thinks that's just how it should be done. You know, you would know more than me if it's like she's putting on a role or if she's really getting into it and getting off on it. So think about those things, talk with her, and hopefully you two can come to a compromise or discover that you are misunderstanding each other, and you will be off into the land of happy pegging once again now that you have some privacy. And one last thing. She said she feels like it's demasculinizing you. It takes a very brave man and a very emotionally strong man to trust his partner enough to allow that level of vulnerability that is involved with pegging. It is not a sign of weakness. It is not a sign of a lack of masculinity. That same man that is in her arms and vulnerable and connected and intimate and loving and getting fucked can be the man who the next day is Mr. Macho Masculine Dude, with testosterone coming out of every orifice he has. The two aren't related. They really aren't. There is a way in which some people see being penetrated as strictly feminine, and that's not the case at all. Certainly, it is more often the case that women are the ones who are penetrated, but that doesn't take into account male receptive anal sex with the pegging or with other men. So it really isn't connected at all. Believe me, I've been fortunate to have been with a couple of very, very masculine guys, because that's my hook. I've talked about it before, and I'll talk about it again. The contrast is the hook for me. The total man's man, macho, masculine dude who lets down all those walls and lets me penetrate him and becomes vulnerable. And allows me inside, not just with that cock I have strapped on, but allows me inside emotionally. That's the hook for me. It's the most beautiful thing I've ever experienced. That's what pegging's all about for me. And I know that different people do it different ways, but wow, that's an amazing experience. And when the man allows you in emotionally like that, it's a gift. It's a total gift. So I don't know. Take whatever you can from the things I've said here and relay these things to her and see if you guys can work it out. Good luck. Okay, last question here. Thanks for the excellent information you share on your sites. Maybe you could help out with a little advice. My wife and I are eager to try pegging. However, we live in South Africa, and our choices of quality harnesses are limited. We can get the Tanis Intermediate kits readily here, and the Jacques harness via an importer. Our concern with the Jacques harness is that my wife is gorgeously slender, and after reading a few reviews, feel it may not be the perfect fit, and may be a little bulky, as we would have to loop the excess Velcro straps, etc. You mentioned on Pegging 101 your favorite harness to be one from Aslan, however failed to mention which type. Is that the one you are wearing in your pit gallery? My aim is to purchase a good quality harness that will perform the job perfectly first time, create an enjoyable experience for my wife, make her feel sexy, and be a once-off investment to last many years. Are you able to recommend something specific, as well as perhaps a good dildo to match? We were thinking of ordering the Tantus Silk Medium or Tantus Curve, but are open to further suggestions. Okay, the Aslan harness I would totally recommend would be the Jaguar. I do recall in a previous podcast running up against this, a very, very small woman, and her boyfriend was riding in because they wanted to get a harness and he wanted to make sure it would fit her. So I called up and talked to the people at Aslan and they said, oh yeah, it'll go down to like 24 inches or something. Very, very small. I can't remember the measurement, but point being, it would fit her fine. Now, as far as the dildo, it really depends on what you like. There are dildos that look like cocks. There are dildos that don't look like cocks. There are all kinds of things. So you were in the territory of talking about the Tantus Silk Medium or the Tantus Curve. I think that the Tantus Silk Medium, let me check the measurements on that. Hold on. Okay, I went and looked it up, and the Tantus Silk Medium is 1 inch in diameter and 5 1/4 in length. That, in my opinion, is too small. Unless you are particularly tight in your anal area, and in which case, then an inch diameter would be a good thing to start with, as long as you're more normal and you two have done some anal play together and you don't find that it's particularly difficult to take, you know, up to 2 of her fingers, then I would say 1 1/4 inches is a better beginning size in diameter. I think 1 inch would be a little bit too small. So they do have others. The curve is a pretty intense curve, and it is not as flexible as it could be, and it is 1 1/3 inches in diameter. So I wouldn't recommend that one right off the bat. There are some other ones. There's the Acute, which is 1 1/4 inches. And I believe that one is 5 1/4 long or something. See, here are the things to take into consideration. If you and your wife are slender and you don't have a lot of excess fabulousness to get between you and where your bodies come together, then 5 1/2, 5 inch might be kind of short, but 5 1/2 minimum would probably be just fine. You might be able to get to 5 1/4. But the thing that happens when you have anything under 6 inches in length is that it limits the positions that your wife can peg you in. Here's why. Because when we strap on a dildo, we can't feel the end of it. And so in certain positions, it's easier than others for it to fall out. And the embarrassing thing is, a lot of times we don't even know it. You're sitting there moving away and thrusting, and your partner goes, it's out, because we can't feel it. So we don't have that automatic, oh, pull back, because if I don't pull back, if I pull back too far, it's going to come out, because I can feel it's going to come out, because we can't feel it. So the shorter the dildo, the more that's going to happen, and the more frustrating it's going to be. And the less, when you really get going, you can thrust harder, faster, have a little bit of wild fun with it. This is why I'm recommending all these things. I have been known to say, and I still believe this, the ideal beginner's dildo is 6 inches long, 1 1/4 inches in diameter. You can get that. I don't know if any of Tantus's fit that exactly. Because what I was looking for as well is something smooth. I think you're on track, on the right track, with the Silk Medium in terms of the smoothness of it. A fair amount of the Tantus dildos have ridges, and some of them are more pronounced than others. I think to start with, it's good to have a smooth one just to see what it's like and to feel that, and just to start with. So what I had when I started was the Vixen Creations Mistress is what it's called. And it's exactly 6 inches long and 1 1/4 inches in diameter. Did a lot of research before I got that one because I wanted something long enough to be long enough. It's hard to say that. But also wide enough to give enough pleasure for a beginner, yet not really push the boundaries in terms of stretching. So that's kind of the information that I have about it. If you two are on the heavier side, especially if both of you are, then you're going to need something at least 6 inches long. They also have, Tantus has one called the Leisure, I believe. And that's 1¼ inches in diameter and 7 inches long. Now, what happens when you have something that's too long? Or, well, let me rephrase that. What happens when you have something that is longer than you can accept if she were to bottom out? That just means she can't thrust in all the way. And sometimes that can be a little frustrating, but it can also provide you with a number of different positions that you can peg in where that length is really handy. Like, for example, you're laying face down on the bed and she is laying on top of you with her legs outside of yours. Your legs are together and she's on top of you, fucking you on top and thrusting down. And that's when it's good to have a longer dildo. So there are positions like that where it's great. So take all of that into consideration, and hopefully I've been helpful. Aslan Jaguar, 6 inches by 1¼. And have fun, and I keep saying this, let us know how it goes. Because I would love to play the music for some fans in South Africa. Ah, I'm going to add one more thing, because I saw something in your letter I didn't address. You had mentioned that you are able to get the Tantus Intermediate kits readily there. You know, I wouldn't recommend that, partly because of what you said. You wanted to something to help her feel sexy and be a one-off investment to last many years. The beginner kit functions in for people who really have no idea whether or not they're going to like it or not. It's not that big of a deal. And they're not really of the mentality that you have, which is buy once and buy quality. So it's a great beginner kit for people who are exploring this thing. But it sounds like you two know that this is something you really want to do. And if you have the mindset of wanting it to be a good investment, only wanting to buy once, don't get the kit. Get the Aslan lovely, luxurious leather harness that your wife will look amazing in, and a good dildo. Okay, good luck to you. All right, I think we're done here. Goodness sakes, this is almost an hour. By the time I put the music on it, it will be. Haha. So, you can leave your questions at 805-500-6544. And I would love for some people to call in. My phone line, quite honestly, is getting pretty lonely. No phone calls, just letters. So, get brave, people. Don't write it down. Call me up. I'd love to play your question online. I don't get a chance to do that very often on my podcasts. You can follow me at Twitter at @Ruby_writer, and I have a Facebook page I would love a thumbs up on. You can subscribe to my blog, which has sexy pictures and articles that never show up on my blog, on my podcast. My podcast is on iTunes. You can access it through that, and you can also access it directly from my blog. Let's see here. Where was I? My stories are now available for purchase at the Amazon Kindle store, so you can do that. And I also have the subscriptions for erotica that you can take advantage of on my website, which is the very best deal if you are interested in pegging erotica. And if you must email, send all your questions and stories to ruby@peggingparadise.com, or you can click. Wow, that was an interesting slip. You can clit. I need to get off this microphone and go have some fun here. You can click the Write Ruby links at the upper right page of every page of my blog. Okay, I'm stumbling over my words here. Thanks for listening. Thanks for downloading. And happy pegging.